all of the NBA's decision makers back from vacation. And that means trade talks are heating up again. We'll talk about the latest on Donovan Mitchell, how it could relate to Kevin Durant on today's episode of Locked On Suns. Plus, who is the Suns' actual rival? We'll get into that as well. Let's go.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past five seasons and a writer at Suns.com and Dime Magazine. A big thanks for making Locked On Suns your first listen here on this Wednesday. Go check out yesterday's episode if you haven't already. Monday's episode, we talked with Alex Alvarez, who runs the Planet Orange IG page, Suns fan account over there. That was a really, really fun episode, just getting his insight on what that's like. And if you're finding us for the first time, hit follow or subscribe on whatever platform you're finding us so you find us in your feed every single morning. Today, we are... Is it the 12th update on Kevin Durant or the 12,000th? I'm not really sure. Aaron Edwards is here with us to break it all down a little early for the week. Hopefully lining up another guest to close out the week, guys. But let's dive right into it, Aaron. Donovan Mitchell is apparently, he wasn't ever not available anymore, but the Knicks and the Jazz are talking about him again. That's per Tony Jones and Shams Charania of The Athletic. I want to just throw this trade up. This is courtesy of Max McCauley of the 7 Seconds or Less podcast, which doesn't exist anymore. He's just a follow on Twitter. He's been on this show before. Basically, the bare bones of a trade that could get Donovan Mitchell involved with the Kevin Durant stuff. We've all talked about this stuff before. Ben Simmons would have to probably go to the Jazz, or there's probably a possibility of a fourth team getting involved here. But the bottom line is, this is a pathway now that everybody's back from playing golf or being on the boat in whatever crazy European city that they were on in the NBA. They're back to negotiating. Do you feel like this is a realistic pathway? Because I thought Mitchell to the Knicks was just going to happen right away, Aaron. It didn't. So now we're kind of back to figuring this whole part of it out. Do you think there's a chance these things happen together?
I'm trying to decide if I'm really saying, is it like the only way? Like, I'm trying not to get the only way confused with a possible way, but it is the only way. Like, I texted you earlier today when we saw it. I was like, this is the only way this is going to happen. This is the only way Brooklyn's going to get a thing that they want at the same time as us getting what we want. So I guess I'm more confused in between the range of, is it possible or is it the only way that this could happen for us?
Yeah, for people listening who didn't see the graphic, it's not overly complicated. It's basically the three players we thought might go to the Nets for KD, Mikhail, Cam, and Crowder going to the Nets. But in addition to that, Donovan Mitchell going to Brooklyn, and then Ben Simmons to the Jazz and KD to the Suns. And then likely all the Suns' first round picks would then probably just go to Utah, or at least the majority of them, for Mitchell. And then Mitchell would be the thing that gets the Nets package satisfied, because they want that young all-star caliber guy. The Simmons part of this is where I think things get interesting. And I also think, you know, what do the Jazz want, I think, is the other interesting part. And like, to me, this basically just comes down to, I think there's going to have to be, if these things are going to happen together, and we still know the Knicks want Mitchell really badly, so that's just to consider. That could just be the fourth team, maybe, right? Like, maybe that's the fourth team. Yeah, maybe Mitchell goes there, and then maybe the Nets get, like, Obi Toppin or one of these guys. I don't know. But it feels like it's going to have one more team on top of that to me.
Yeah, I think that a fourth team would make sense. But I also just think, we know Danny Ainge is going to want picks. Like, that's just what the dude lives for. He's just like Presti in that way. Like, he'll get as many picks as he wants. And he's going to semi-rebuild a team, he's going to be the one that wants the picks in this. And I can see just Marks. Like, do you really want to do all this with Ben Simmons later on? I think he's out of the diva game. I think, like, not calling KD a diva, but I just think that you have, like, some of the biggest player empowerment dudes on your team right now. And do you want to deal with this later? So I could see him trying to shop Ben Simmons and just keeping from dealing with that later on. They haven't seen him get a bucket yet. Like, I think that maybe you would want to do that later on after seeing him play, but I could see Sean Marks trying to just cut it early before it even starts.
Yeah, it's weird. To me, one of the things with this one is to just basing some of it off of what we heard back when the Knicks first started to talk to the Jazz about Mitchell. They were like, I mean, it's all posturing, but like they were saying or leaking basically that even the Knicks amount of picks, like they wanted more. And the Knicks have more than like the minimum. Like the Suns just have their own picks, right? But the Knicks have their own picks plus, you know, the Pistons stuff they did on draft night, the Hornets stuff they did on draft night. They have like four or five extra picks over the course of like this decade basically to include. And the Jazz were even then saying like, yeah, it's not quite enough. Like we can believe that or not. But that's the other reason I think another team would have to get involved. Do teams see Ben Simmons as a positive or negative trade asset? I'm glad we're finally seeing, and I know this was just from Max, but like I do think in on Twitter, like among reporters, et cetera, like you are finally seeing chatter about Ben Simmons more, which to me was always the crazy part back in like early July when this was really a big thing.
It's nobody like, was saying his name.
Everybody would say his name like, well, you can't get Bam Adebayo. You can't get so-and-so. It's like, then trade him. Like, he's not that great. He's not that good of a player. I mean, like, all things considered, if you're talking about Bam or you're talking about whoever it might have been, like, he's not that good, right, Donovan Mitchell, to risk not getting those players. So I think that's where we are. I have a question for you. How good do you think Donovan Mitchell is compared to some of these other players? Because that part I don't think is getting evaluated closely enough. I think because we know the Nets are up against it and we know the Knicks are just desperate to get talent always. How good do you think he actually is compared to some of these other players that have become available in the past 5-10 years?
I mean, I think he's exciting and I just didn't think him and Rudy Gobert matched up. I think more with like a dude like Luka, he would have a lot of fun. But I just think if they do get another guard with him that he can work with, I think it's fun. And the lane's not clogged up all the time. I think if you spread it out with him, he could be a really good player on a good team. His passing still isn't great, but I think just spacing-wise, he could still be pretty good. It just was never going to work with Rudy being in there.
Yeah.
So I think, like, yeah, like, he's a perennial all-star, maybe, like, second round, like, get to the Western Conference Finals or Eastern Conference Finals or whatever conference finals every once in a while, but yeah, I just think he has to be in the perfect situation for him to, like, really flourish. And I don't think we've seen that yet.
Yeah, to me, that's totally valid, I think. Like, to me, part of the reason, like, I think he deserves some of that criticism, too, in terms of the fit, because part of the reason he didn't fit with Rudy is because his passing's not necessarily where it needs to be. Like, I'm not saying Gobert is some sort of, you know, all-star scorer that just wasn't able to get unlocked because Mitchell was there. But, like, if you have, like, in an ideal world, I kind of think you would want that role guy for Mitchell, right? And they had that, but it didn't work because Mitchell either doesn't look for that, isn't comfortable making that pass. Maybe they just hated each other and we'll find some other role guy for, you know, Nerlens Noel will have like an amazing season this year. Obi Toppin will have an amazing season with Mitchell in New York and it'll all be great. But I think that's part of it. I think like the way he plays right now to me, like, he's going to be a Lillard-type player. I'm not saying he'll get to that level, but that's kind of the way he plays basketball, which has always been what's weird about him to me, is like he's this guy who coming out of college was one thing and now he's a different thing. And it's not even about like wrong evaluations or him not living up to his potential. It's just like his athletic ability, like he should play the way we all thought he was going to play in college. So I think the fact that it's different is actually a bad thing. Like, that's a knock on him because he doesn't go to the basket. He's never been an impactful defender. And it's just funny to me where with the comparisons that he got, that him and Book would always get early on in their careers, I always felt like Book needed to play more like Lillard or more like Steph in order, or more like Harden, to get to the point, to get to unlock his potential. And what's funny to me is, like, Mitchell did that, and it was actually for the worse. And then Book kept doing his own thing stylistically. Now, he still needs to take a lot of threes. Like, there's just some parts that have to be there. But he doesn't play that way, and that's been the best thing for Book. So I was completely wrong. I was one of the last holdouts, like, even in here, like, watching Book every day, doing this show, whatever. I could have sworn to you Mitchell was going to be better, and that's laughable now. Mitchell is not nearly as good. I just don't think he's that level of difference maker where if you are the Knicks giving up all that, I know it's the Knicks, but even then, like, I don't know. I don't think he's going to come change your franchise like that.
Yeah, I think Book, he just had the passing growing pains. Like, he knew he needed to get better at playmaking, and he still, like, has questionable decision-making with some of his passes cross-court. Just some of his passing in general sometimes. And my biggest knock on Donovan Mitchell was he didn't want to go through the growing pains. Like, he doesn't make bad decisions because he doesn't make any decisions. Like, he's either going to chuck or just get the offense going, but he's not necessarily making, like, passes to make people better. And I think if he would have just did that one season where it was going to do some questionable stuff, some questionable passes inside, like, some questionable pick and roll passes. If he would have done that and just learned from it, I think he'd be a lot better right now. Because the Book went through it. Like, he had some really rough passes that you're like, what are you doing, bro? And I think in the long run, that kind of helped him out a little bit.
By rough passes where you're wondering what's going on, do you mean in Game 7 this year? Or
definitely in Game 7, too. Yeah. I mean, the last two games, honestly.
No, but he's a much, much, much better passer than Mitchell. And that is part of it. Having being able to scroll at all three levels rather than just relying on that pull-up three so much, all that stuff. It's just interesting to think about. But so there were some other things. We are deep in August. There were some other things this week that caught my attention in terms of keeping this dream alive or trying to read between the lines of what's going on with Kevin Durant and with the Suns. So we'll dive into some of the sillier stuff here in just one second. First, today's show, guys, brought to you by the NHTSA Impaired Driving Campaign. You're hanging out with some friends, putting back a few drinks, a few becomes a few too many, and as the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride, but no. You live nearby, you think you can make it home okay, it's no big deal. What are the odds you'll get pulled over anyway, and even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up, you lose your license, you lose your job, or worse, maybe you total your car, maybe you end up killing someone. Everyone knows about the risks of drunk driving, the results are tragic and often deadly, however, there still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence, and that's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again, play it safe, and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. All right, so Aaron, I'll give you your pick here. I have a picture for a couple of these. I don't have a picture for others. Maybe there's something in your mind already that I'm not even going to bring up, but here are the three that I have to choose from. One, Suns assistant coach Jarrett Jack's wedding, and for some reason, Kevin Durant and his brother liking the photo. That was one thing that Suns fans overreacted to this week. Number two, Jay Crowder posting on Instagram and blurring out the Suns logo on his tracksuit jacket. And then last but not least, this one was this afternoon, Tuesday, as we're recording this, KD's new shoes in purple and orange and black and white. Literally, like, you could wear those on Suns opening night. They're there for the YouTube audience. I'm sure the other audience listening at home has seen them already. KD15. So, which of those three, you don't even have to buy it, but would you like to talk about?
I think the Crowder thing is more interesting, but I think the least interesting one is the shoe one, just because players don't match shoes anymore. They literally do not care. They will throw on a bright orange shoes with a black uniform or bright orange with, like, a pink uniform. Like, it really doesn't matter what shoes they wear now. They do not care.
But let me ask you this. Did he know what he was doing there, though?
Yes, Kevin Durant is very online. Like, he does the, oh, you guys are always overreacting thing. Like, he's done it all week so far. But I think that he also knows exactly what he's doing.
It's hilarious to me with that, real quick, how when he's a net and I don't care, it's hilarious to me. And now that I want to know what's up, I'm like, okay, dude, like, please chill out with the tweets. Like, I'm tired of it. I'm honestly like, if he does become a son, which I'm done predicting on, the amount of anxiety his Twitter account will bring me, I think I'm already like a little bit stressed about. But let's talk about the Crowder thing instead then. I'll put that one up on the screen for the YouTube audience. So I don't even know what the context of the post was, really. It was pretty harmless from what I could tell. And he's wearing a Nike Suns black jacket, and for whatever reason, he blurted it out. Players don't have to do that. Like, my instinct on that one was like, okay, it's like trademark stuff, copyright stuff. But I'm like, no, that they post stuff with the team logo all the time. They also play for the team. It's their employer. They don't need to blur it out. Why did he do that? And like, he obviously doesn't know Photoshop or whatever, I'm assuming, because he's an NBA player. I don't know Photoshop. Why would he? So he had to like get somebody to do that for him. That is an amazing amount of effort for somebody who's still on this team.
Yeah, I think, well, NBA players are the most dramatic out of everybody. So they are probably the most calculated out of all the athletes. Like, everything they do, they're the most empowered players in all of sports, other than baseball, I guess. But they do everything on purpose. Like, they're trying to get a point across to somebody. They're giving a subtweet or something to everybody. And in a contract year or something like that, to get re-signed or get to another team, that's when they do it the most. So I think everything he did was on purpose. And we, like I said, like months ago when we first asked each other this, we knew Jay Crowder was going to be the odd man out probably. And I think he knew the second that horn hit zero too.
I feel like what it is that's that if I were in his shoes that I would be frustrated by is just how long it's dragging out. You know what I mean? Like,
that's everybody, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm frustrated by it, too. Yeah, like, who isn't at this point?
We thought this would be done by July 4th. We thought we were going to be grilling and have Katie as a son July 4th weekend. And that just didn't happen. And if I feel that way, I know a dude that has to decide where he's going to live in a couple months feels that way, too.
Yeah, it sucks. And it sucks for him. We talked about this before. Like, he's just been traded so much. He never seems to be able to stick on to a team. It is a bummer. And, like, what's funny, and I brought up this a couple times over the course of the summer, but he's still hosting these pool parties. Like, every weekend at Wild Horse Pass or whatever it is with the Suns partnership with that resort. And so he has to, like, go out there, do this part. I'm sure he's getting paid, I would think. But this like silly partnership thing, and he's doing a pool party, and then he has to keep doing it for the team, and I'm sure the drunk people at these parties are asking him about it or like giving him crap about it. Yeah, it's a bummer, but let's get to this last one because it was the most ridiculous one to me. It's peak August NBA. It's peak a superstar demanded a trade a month and a half ago, and he still is on his team level of NBA online fandom. It is literally just Jarrett Jack at his own wedding posting a picture and then Kevin Durant and his brother liking it. As if Jarrett Jack is not like the journeyman of all journeymen in the NBA, has connections to the Warriors, coached the Suns recently, played everywhere, played for a G League team last year. Like, he knows everybody in the NBA. If you ever go pregame to a Suns game, this man says hello to everybody. The idea that KD would be happy that he got married is not an indication he's about to be a son.
Like, literally every NBA player was at Draymond's wedding this weekend, and that meant nothing. Like, it's just all these dudes have known each other since they were 8 years old. So, of course, they're going to like his picture. Like, I'm sure Kevin Durant would. Jared Jack was in the league. Kevin Durant was in DC and ran into him once. Like, it's nothing. These dudes have all grown up around each other some way, somehow, and known each other for so long.
It's hilarious. I don't think that they ever played together. So I will, like, it is, I understand why it might pique some people's attention, but, like, it's nothing. I completely agree with you. It was hilarious to me that Suns fans, like, It's also like, I think fans don't even actually, like, it's so little energy that goes into it at this point. Like, they're scrolling Instagram, whoever initiated this whole thing. They see that, they follow KD, so Instagram tells them KD liked it. And then it's the laziest type of posting. Screenshot, open Twitter, upload photo, eyeball emoji, send tweet. Like, that's the whole process. And then they just reap the, like, retweet after retweet after retweet, and they just get to stir it up. Like, it's just as much about fans being bored as it is about KD being bored when he goes on Twitter. We're all ready for this to end. We're all ready for...
But also, it's part of just being a Suns fan. Like, I think it's because we've never been in the connecting dots and reading tea leaves part of NBA offseason, and we've talked about this before. I think it's just because we are novice in conspiracy NBA. Like, we haven't had to do it before. Like, Laker fans are pros at it. Everybody else is just Knicks fans. They do it every year, and they're amazing at Photoshop. We've never been in this situation, so I think we're still kind of really bad at it. But I think for the most part, just we're so young, and we went straight from being nothing to this person wants to come here. It kind of just rushed us into being conspiracy theorists.
And the offseason with Chris Paul was so short. The news broke like a week before it happened, so there was no buildup. Yeah, I was talking to somebody who grew up in Cleveland and covered the Cavs at one point, and I was asking him, like, is this what it was like when you guys were, like, tracking the planes and all that with LeBron coming back? And he was like, dude, you're like, this is nothing compared to that. And I'm like, yeah, that's totally fair. So, like, yeah, we're novices with all of this. It might be the only time we get it in our lifetime. So I say screenshot as many IG posts as you possibly want. We don't even know if Jarrett Jack is going to be an assistant here yet next season. They don't even announce that stuff until it's been a while. He was, like, lowest on the bench. There's no guarantee he even is a Sun right now. Like, whatever, go for it. But let's close things out. The schedule is also news this week in the NBA. We won't break it down in any real way, but I'm curious heading into this season, because the three games we have heard about are three teams that I think you could make the claim are Suns rivals. There are other Western Conference teams. You can tell the league is trying to draw attention to it. So we'll talk about it. Do the Suns have a rival? What could their rival be? First, though, guys, today's show brought to you by Bet Online, the one-stop shop all year long for your latest odds, lines, games. They even have news and analysis for every league, including the baseball regular season, the start of the football regular season. You have NBA futures. You have everything, all the stuff that goes on all year long, tennis, golf, F1, all of it. And Bet Online continues to be your top online resource for all of it. I've told you before, the Cardinals over-under for this season is 8.5 wins. I think we have Super Bowl odds where the Cardinals are plus 4,000. I would not recommend putting any money there. Aaron's Colts are plus 2,200. There's a lot of good value if you can be patient enough to get, like, playoff win over under Super Bowl stuff this early with the NFL, because some of the stuff is just weird. It's based on injuries that are happening right now that might not even be anything. It's based on media buzz, all of it. So BetOnline, your one-stop shop for all of it. Head to BetOnline today or use their mobile app to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Aaron, so far we've heard reporting that the Suns are opening the season, and the full schedule will be out Wednesday, but we're recording this Tuesday. And I think these three games are actually a good place to start. So the Mavs on October 19th, which will probably be a nationally televised ESPN game, that first full day of the season after the Tuesday when it starts. Then we have Suns at Nuggets on Christmas. And then I believe, at Memphis, because they always do a game in Memphis on MLK Day in January. Those three teams, Mavs, Nuggets, Grizzlies, you can see the league kind of trying to figure out maybe post-Chris Paul, post-Warriors Big Three. Like, what's that young rivalry going to be in the West? Do you see any of those three teams as being, like, rivals of the Suns? Two of them we've seen playoff series against. The Grizzlies are just kind of the right timeline.
I think, like, it's hard to just conjure up rivalries. Like, a lot has to come into it. And right now you can just feel it cooking, like between the fans and just how contentious everything is and the trash talk and just what happened to us. The Dallas thing, it's going to linger. Like you could just tell that it's just one of those things. Like they lost Jalen Brunson, so like I'm not sure how good they're going to be. But just fans-wise, the players-wise, like it was contentious all the way through. And I think that's what makes a rivalry. Like it's not necessarily wins and losses. It's just how they feel about each other on the court. And I can just see the Dallas thing being a problem for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... I don't think the Grizzlies really is one for me. I think you have to play in the playoffs. And then, like you're saying, ideally multiple times in the playoffs, I think before you really feel like that team is somebody the fan base hates or even like feels anything about. Like there's time, like I've seen this with the Lakers Clippers thing since the Clippers made the Kawhi trade. It's like the league really wants that to be something, but it's not really something, you know, like, so I think the Mavs, like if the Suns were to play the Mavs again in the playoffs this year, or the Nuggets thing too, like I think we forget about it, but that was pretty contentious. Like setting aside the Suns and four guy, like Jokic got ejected, which he never loses his temper like that. Like it was pretty ugly for a minute there.
Yeah, I just think that they haven't closed it out though. So I think like they played the Warriors tough and they have had a lot of injuries. So like, they haven't really been healthy since the bubble. So I guess they just have to be healthy for me to even consider them maybe being a rival. Like, it just seemed like we swept them last time, so it wasn't really, like, any... Like, everybody was mad, and Joker lost his temper really quick. But it never really felt like a rivalry. Like, Dallas was just a mean series. Like, you can just feel how mean everybody was to each other about it. And I think that matters.
And neither fan base has gotten over it.
No, like, and I think just it's like the Spurs days, even though like online wasn't as big, like there was hate for the Spurs and Spurs fans and we hated each other back. And it was like a whole thing. I think this time around, it feels a lot Spursy. I mean, it doesn't have like the Ori thing that kind of sent it over the edge, but I can see it just, it's just been contentious for months now.
Yeah.
And we just haven't gotten over it. It's fights between Dallas fans and Suns fans every day, it seems like. And I just think that means a rivalry is happening.
Yeah, and that Dallas, like, the Dallas thing has history because they were, you could have called them a rival back in the day with the Nash years, too. And then to have it come back, like, there's obviously most fans are still old enough to have been around for both. So, yeah, I think I would lean Dallas of those three teams. And I think it's smart to do it right away so that it's just like, that was the last game that the Suns played. And here it is again. I mean, I think right now, though, the Suns' rival is still the Lakers, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, are they, though? Like, I just don't pay attention to them. It's just...
That first-round series last year was...
Yeah.
I felt a lot of things... It seems like a whole
other team now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like a whole other team now. I think that LeBron is still LeBron, and AD, like, is he going to be there? I think you have to have so many, like, pieces that stick... Luka is just perfectly hateable. He's an incredible basketball player. The way that he plays basketball, you might not agree with. And he's just a smarmy little jerk, too. Like, yeah. I think you just need a player like that to hate in a rivalry. And they feel exactly like that for Book. They think he's like a smarmy little pretty boy who doesn't play the right way. And I think just both fans having a dude that they hate like that. And you say the same thing about Chris Paul, honestly. Like, I think we both hate each other's players equally, and I think that matters.
Absolutely. No, that's a great point. And I look forward to making fun of how little Christian Wood puts in on defense. I'm all for it. I think that you're talking me into it. I do think like the Lakers thing, it's interesting because we obviously saw the Suns play them at the end of the Magic years in the 90s. They played when Kobe gave up. And then they played last year, and they played in 2010, but that was like such a fairy tale thing where I don't think Suns fans are like angry. It didn't really matter that it was the Lakers. It was just like a bummer we didn't get all the way to the finals that year. I don't think it was like, I don't know. To me, that one didn't feel super contentious. And then obviously last year was very contentious, but it's been all this period of time between. I've written and talked a lot about how the Phoenix LA thing is barely even a thing too. It kind of feels like that Clippers thing where it's like, yeah, the leagues can try to do this, but the LA teams have just walked all over us. Exhibit A, or whatever exhibit it is, being the first round against the Rams not too long ago. I don't feel like Phoenix can say much about LA right now. But the last thing I wanted to say, one is, it's two things. One is, I feel like the Lakers are still one of the biggest rivals. I think the Warriors are the series I want to see the most, personally, because we didn't get it last year. And especially if KD were to still end up here somehow, that would be incredible TV. The last point I want to make, and it's a question for you. What do you think Book feels about the picture of him smiling at the camera when he drew the tech on Luka? How does he feel about that becoming a meme when he thought it was one thing and it is very much another thing now, what that moment represents when he's on the ground looking back up at the camera?
I don't know. Like, I feel like that one probably stung, but I still think the one with Luka smiling up at him and he's looking forward serious and it just says the score at the bottom of the screen, that's the one I see the most, and I hope he just looked at it every day. Like, I hope he just got to see that picture in general, because it's just Luka with that little smirk looking up at him, and you just knew it was over, and it just had to sting.
Is Luka the person that Book wants to punch most in the NBA?
I feel like that's everybody evenly, I think, but
it's like it's every arena's season ticket holders on the front row around the court. That's who Book hates the most, because every arena he finds somebody to scream at that sits right there, or not even always give words to, but even just like look at mean when he scores, because he can't just like leave it alone. So yeah, you're probably right there. All right, that'll do it for us today, guys. We'll keep going. We'll see what happens with Donovan Mitchell. Sorry if you were hoping for 3 segments of KD today. I personally can't do it anymore. I don't think Aaron can either. So I promise you, when something actually happens, I'll give you 2 weeks of shows. But I can't do the rumors anymore every day. So I hope you guys had a little bit of fun there. Hopefully a guest to close out the week. A big thanks for making Locked On Suns your first listen today. Check out Monday's show with Alex Alvarez. And in the meantime, make Locked On NBA, your second listen to catch up on all the rest of the stuff going on around the league.